Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. The book of John, chapter 20. And in verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Can you ever think about that? Her just sitting there weeping with tears in her eyes and eyes blurred with tears, and just looking up and seeing the Lord Jesus and not being able to really see, make out his, who he is, but sitting there thinking that something terrible has happened. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned to herself. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, to my God and your God. Father, we do thank you this day for everything you've given. We thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate a day that's dedicated to fathers, and Lord, help us to remember the very best and rejoice in it, understanding that all of those things are in the final analysis, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from you, and we thank you for it. Lord, help us to look and just rejoice this day, not just in our earthly fathers and the good that we receive from them, whether it be great or small. But Lord, help us to rejoice in the fact this day and every day that we have a Heavenly Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's always, there's a lot of things about this passage of Scripture that I love. You know, Jesus doing his high priestly duties, he tells Mary, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father which is in heaven." But after the blood was presented in the mercy seat in heaven, there he comes back and he tells his disciples, "Touch me and handle me, for spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." You know, he had to fulfill all of the scriptures that as our great high priest, his blood is the token on the mercy seat in heaven of our salvation. And it's the shedding of his blood that purchased our salvation. It's his blood that washes away our sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from how much sin? All sin. And that's a wonderful thing when we look at that passage of Scripture and we think about it. And you know, but he told her, he said, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father." But then he says something that to me is just amazing, and just something that I think we take far too much for granted as Christians. He said, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." Now, as we look at that, of course, we know the Bible says that Jesus is equal to the Father, that He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made, right? So He is God, and Christ is God in human flesh, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, right? So we have so many passages of Scriptures along that line. And so when He says, I ascend to my God and your God, obviously that's talking about Christ's humanity, because He took upon Him the form of a servant. He took upon Him the seed of Abraham, right? And God is our God. Everybody out there that does not recognize the God of the Bible as God, He is still their God, whether they like it or not. He's our Creator. He's our God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That includes us, by the way. Doesn't it? He's always been the Creator. He's always been God. But it's just an amazing thing here that He also says to my Father and to your Father. It's no mystery that Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And that God the Father is His Father. But what an amazing thing that God the Father is our Father. If you ever took the time to think about that. For those who trusted, you know, I kind of went through the Bible and I just looked at the places in the Bible where Jesus talked about my Heavenly Father, my Father. And He said in Matthew 15:13, every plant which my Father, Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Just going through there, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:10, Matthew 18:14, it says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them from my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. My Father, again, my Father, my Father. There's probably a few more in there that he talks about it being my Father. Luke 10:21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord in heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. John 6:32, Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. John 12:28, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. John 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So we look at that, and there's so many places, and it's not surprising in the Bible that it would say in there that the Father is Jesus' Father. Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, and Jesus being God in human flesh, and Jesus by being nature, God, both God and man. But then again, there are just as many places where Jesus said this. He said, "For if you Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Matthew 6:26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Matthew 6:32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain upon the just, on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, it's kind of interesting the way people have done that. And there's more verses that we'll look at in a minute. But you know, just a thing to think about it. Roman Catholicism has turned this into where it's a model prayer, or a prayer that you say. It's kind of become a repetitious thing. They took the teaching of the Word of God, and they don't even call it, they call it, especially when they go out, and any of you that may be ex-Catholic or whatever, you had to go out when you did your penance, not repentance, but penance, you would go out and say Hail Marys and Our Fathers, right? And so they've kind of just made that a thing. And many people, and many many popular TV shows and things, and different people throughout the day, when they talk about people praying, they kind of make a mockery of people who say my heavenly Father or our heavenly Father, when they're trying to make a show of mockery of people who they think are insincere in their prayers, big pious prayers, our heavenly Father, my heavenly Father. But that's the language that's in the Bible, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father. Our Father which is in heaven. That's an amazing thing to think about. But let me just go on. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And then Luke 11:2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. There's so many passages of scriptures that we just do a simple amount of looking. And we look at there, and just the fact that that we can say, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father which is in heaven. That's an amazing thing. That is something that we could understand. God is our God, but He's also our Father, and I think we take it for granted. It's like I was talking, and we were talking about earlier about Father's Day and everything like that. You know, so many times that we live our lives, we take so many things for granted. And then our parents die, and our fathers die, and then we think about all these things we wish we would have said. And I'm so thankful that I got to write that letter. I took the time after I got saved, and God dealt with my heart. My Heavenly Father dealt with my heart about my earthly father, and told me that to honor Him, I needed to thank Him and make sure He knew that I appreciated the things that He had done for me. And I wrote that letter, and that letter made an impact on my father, my earthly father, and it helped our relationship immensely. Because after I got saved, and you know, all of a sudden, I wouldn't go out drinking with him, I wouldn't go to the bar with him, and I wouldn't do certain things with him, and I wouldn't break laws and things that he did as a matter of course and everything, because like I said, he wasn't a saved man. You know, he's the type of fella that if, you know, I go out and I hunt and I try to obey the laws, everything like that, to the best of my ability in that regard. But I used to be, I didn't care about the law, the hunting laws and things. He didn't either. And he'd get kind of upset because he'd see a deer and he'd want to shoot it. I'd say, no, we can't do that. I can't do that. And I mean, we talk about different things, and we'd do things, and he'd get upset with me sometimes that I wouldn't do it, and then of course he'd think that he had a lady that he would had as a girlfriend or whatever, and she was all worried that when she found out I was a Christian, Bible believing Christian, she was all worried that we thought ill of her, and I told her, no, we don't think ill of you, and I told Dad, and so just writing that letter, taking that time, made a world of difference in our relationship, because he knew that I didn't just look down my nose at him. He knew I appreciated him. He knew I appreciated everything that he taught. And I told him, you know, I remember telling him in writing in there that so many people don't know what to do and don't know how to handle themselves and they just can't do the most basic things. I mean, you know, because I went in the Navy, you know, my dad was in the Navy all those years. But, you know, they sat there, and one of the first things you have to do at the Navy is when they put you in the Navy, at least about when I was in the Navy, everything, one of the things you had to do, because in the Navy you work with ropes, you had to learn to tie knots. And so they had a knot of the day that you were supposed to have to learn to tie every day. Every day you had a different knot and everything like that. And I spent my time teaching, a lot of my time in boot camp, going around teaching people how to tie knots that I already knew how to tie because my dad had already taught me how to tie. It was no problem. I was like, okay, bowling, no problem. Boom, done. Square knot, boom, done. Sheep shank, boom, done. Didn't make any, I knew how to tie. My dad had already taught me how to tie. It's just little things like that. That I began to realize as I grew up that he had helped me in ways. And you know, but sometimes we forget that. And I think we forget that with our Heavenly Father. And the first thing we need to understand is how fortunate and what a wonderful thing it is to have a Heavenly Father. I mean, it's not something you get by your own birthright or your own merit. It is something that is given to you. that this God, who is your creator and your judge, would become your father, would adopt you as his child when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That it would be his purpose. You know, that song, I think it's called Such Love, that God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to turn my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring it nigh. How wonderful is love like this, that God would want to redeem me from my sins is enough, but for him to go further and want me to be his child, to be my father. That in itself is a glorious thing that we ought never take for granted, that we ought to always rejoice in. Amen. But we need to take time and remember what our Heavenly Father has done for us. And by the way, let me just say this. The only way God is your Father, the only way God is your Father is if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If you have not put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing that He died and shed His blood as payment for your sins, and believing that He rose from the dead, and that He is your only hope of salvation, if you've not put your faith in Him and called upon Him to be your Savior, I don't care what you say, God is not your Father. And by the way, I'll say this. If you don't like to hear about Jesus, and you all you want to hear is God, and you don't want to hear all this Jesus business, you need to get saved. Because the Bible says in the book of 1 John, he that loveth him that begat, loveth also him that is begotten of him. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, except unless you've been born again through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and indwelt with God's Spirit, unless you have been saved biblically, you're not God's child. I don't care how religious you are, whatever the case may be. But if you know you're saved, and you know you're a child of God, you know you're born again, if you know that in your heart and you're sure of it, of your salvation and everything, just what a wonderful thing it is. To have the God of the Bible. You know, He gave us His Word to teach us. And He gave us His Spirit to teach us, to guide us into all truth. He gave up His only begotten Son so that we could become sons of God. And His Spirit. You say, well, I know all that. But do you really think about it? When's the last time you really sat down and took stock about what your Heavenly Father has done for you and just thanked Him for it and let Him know how much you appreciate it? Well, God knows everything. I know God knows everything. You know what? I'm not God, but I knew a lot of things. I've already had some of my kids, and I've had a similar experience with my children. I've had them come back and say, Daddy, I'm sure so glad you taught me this or taught me that. Daddy, I'm so glad that you did that. You know, you took the time to teach me this, or whatever the case may be. Daddy, I'm so glad that you took the time to sit down and explain and make me understand. You know, that, things like that. And I've experienced some of that, and it brings a great joy to my heart to hear that. That I've actually done something in this life that made a difference, a positive difference in the life of my children. And I knew there would be a day when they would see, whether they said it or not. So many people wait till after their father's gone to say anything, and then they sit there wishing what they could have said. And would have said. But I knew. Didn't mean I didn't want to hear it. Didn't mean it wasn't a blessing to me to hear it. God the Father knows. He knows what's in our heart before we speak it. Doesn't mean He doesn't want to hear it. What is the purpose of prayer? What's the ultimate purpose with prayer and reading the Word of God? Is to spend time with our Father. And we have commands to spend time with our Heavenly Father, don't we? Spend time in prayer. Why? Not because He needs to figure out what we need. He knows. Half the time we pray for, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. So the Holy Spirit has to actually help us and intercede according to the will of God for us. Sometimes we ask for things amiss, don't we? He just wants to spend some time with us. That's one of the primary reasons for it. Obviously, we learn, we grow, but it's just time spent. I remember one time, since we live in Mississippi and my dad lived in Texas, we had got there and we just wanted to do something to be a blessing. And, you know, I just think about my dad all the time. You know, when he found out that Sister Denise liked wild hog when he cooked it. So every time we came, there was wild hog cooked. Yep. Everything. He'd always have it there. Just something he did to be a blessing to her because he wanted to do something nice for my wife. And that blessed me, too, that he did that. But he didn't get to see his grandkids all that much when they were growing up and everything like that. But you know, he didn't get to see him as much as he'd like because we live so many states apart. He'd only get to see him, you know, once or twice a year at the most, rarely more than that. And one day we went there and we got to the day that we were supposed to leave. And I had always, me and Sister Denise had talked, and we said, you know, I said, I could probably get approval to take a couple more days off and we can stay a couple more days, and so we worked things out and everything like that. So we drove off and we drove over to, I believe it was my sister's house, we drove over there and then we put up a banner or something, or we turned around, we came back and we drove back up and said, we're back for our next visit. And it was hilarious. And he had such a grin on his face. He's tickled to death. I think he wanted to see the grandkids more than he wanted to see me. But the simple fact, it was just to be there. You know, my dad was a different type of person, you know, in some ways. He wasn't one to make a big fanfare. He wasn't one to sit there and say how proud he was. The funny thing about him was, I rarely ever heard him tell me that he was proud of me. But he sure told everybody else. And maybe that's a downfall. But our Heavenly Father, He's not that way. He'll let us know. Well, I don't know where you are in your heart today, but I know one thing. I know if there's a Father that needs to be honored, if there's a Father that needs to just have, you know, what a blessing it is when our children take the time to just let us know that they appreciate what's been done. How many things has your Heavenly Father done for you? How many things has He taught you since you've been a Christian? How many times through His teaching have you avoided disaster? I don't think we can thank Him enough I don't think we can show our gratitude enough. I don't think it's fair to ever get so what's the word I'm looking for? Lackadaisical or take for granted that. I don't think we should ever get that way. I don't think that we could do anything greater that would bring joy to our Father's heart. Obviously, obedience brings joy to His heart. But just that desire to be close to Him. And sometimes it starts down at the altar, that old-fashioned mourner's bench, your church altar and everything, or a family altar, or your private prayer closet or prayer time, where you get down on your knees and say, "Father, I've sinned against You and I'm wrong. And I'm apart from You. Please forgive me." What you're saying is, "I want to be near You. I don't want to be apart from You. I want to be near You." Maybe that's the place that you need to start today. Maybe you're here today and you're just playing church. You're not saved and you don't know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven. But and God is not really your Father. He's your God. But He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Father. And He's given you a way to become His child. If you repent, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, acknowledge the fact that you can't save yourself, and realize that Jesus Christ is your only hope, and believe that He died for you and paid the penalty for your sins and rose from the dead, and you'll call upon Him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not only will God save your soul, He will adopt you as His child. He will send forth His Spirit into your heart, whereby you will be able to cry, "Abba, Father." But maybe you just need to just get near to Him. Maybe it's time to get on our knees before God and bow our heads and our hearts before Him and say, "Father, thank You so much. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for teaching me. Thank You for protecting me. Thank You for providing for me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for adopting me. Just thank You." Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus, when He was praying, He said, "Father, I thank Thee"? That's what we need to do. Fathers all over the United States will be honored today in one form or another. Some will get presents, and they'll be happy about it for a little while. Some will go to their grave thinking that their children didn't ever appreciate what they did for them. Children will never express and live with regret over what they never expressed out of appreciation for their fathers. How many times have I heard somebody say, "I wish I could tell my dad how much he mean to me. Wish I could just have a chance to talk to him one more time and let him know how much I appreciated him." I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and stand before Him and wait until that day to tell Him how much I appreciate Him and apologize for my neglect and my unappreciative heart for all that He's done and continues to do for me. Isn't it good to be able to say, my heavenly Father, our Father, my Father and my God? Not just God the Father, my Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Our Father, we do thank you that we get to call you Father. Lord, you know every heart. You know the things that we could spend our days rejoicing is what you've done. And Lord, there's things yet to come that you will do for us on a daily basis. And as human beings and as children often are, especially children who aren't paying attention, we'll miss it. Now, I dare say there's going to be times when we'll get to heaven and there's going to be a day when we'll see that there were times we should have paid attention and we missed the wonderful things that you've done for us and the things you've done on our behalf and the things that you've provided. Lord, help us to see. Open our eyes to the truth of it. Help us to rejoice just to be called your children, your child. Help us rejoice to be cared for and loved by not just a God in heaven, but a Father in heaven. Lord, you know every person's heart here. We just ask that you would help each one to draw near to you and just rejoice in being a child of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King, my Father's own Son, the Savior of men. Once wandered on earth as the poorest of them, but now he is pleading our pardon on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.